Okay, fantastic. We're going to start the call. I know some people are still coming in, but again, I want to respect everybody. So thanks so much for being on a July call during the summer. I love to hear so many people getting on a call during the summer and vacation. That really tells a lot about the character and what is going on with the energy and what's going on with Juice Plus. So today, we have an amazing speaker. Everybody should be aware, especially if you've been to convention, of Lisa Pebble. She's the director of strategic projects. But may I say that she spoke at the Ohio Boot Camp, and by the way, quickly, I want to congratulate the North Coast Boot Camp committee that was headed by Heather Caldwell and Mike and Karen Ewald, but they did an amazing event. Heather went above and beyond duty. His boot camp was just very, very powerful. And one of the reasons it was powerful is that it started with Lisa Stork. And I can tell you, there were 140 people there that just were amazed with the information. And I'm just going to give a quick bio on Lisa, because honestly, I think we can spend about 30 minutes just on a bio. But just quickly here, Lisa Pebble graduated with a degree in chemical engineering from Clemson University in 2002. After a brief stint in manufacturing, she became a global product manager for nutritional ingredients for a Fortune 50 agribusiness company. Her responsibilities included global brand management, financial responsibilities, quality control, and also regular control, as well as clinical support and supply. So as you can see, already at a young age, huge responsibilities out of her job. She became working then at NSA in 2008. We're very lucky that she's been with us for 5 years. And as the newly developed position for quality manager for Juice Plus. Quickly transitioning to the role of director for product development. And now as Director of Product Development, she was instrumental in the introduction of Juice Plus Soft Chewable, Vineyard Soft Chewable Sample Pack, the Complete Power Beverage Reformulation, and also provide early work on the Complete Bar. And guys, we're going to have an amazing Complete Bar coming up in a few months. She is now transitioning from Director of Supply Chain into the role of Director of Strategic Projects, to further bring the study, or the story, I should say, of the farms and farmers to the forefront. So as you can see, just an amazing background. Quickly on her personal life, she's been involved in competitive sport. As a matter of fact, I learned a lot from her, what she's done in just gymnastics, just amazing. She's also been interested in health and fitness and nutrition for many years. She's currently active in aerobics, and she and her husband are avid golfers. By the way, if you golf with her, be ready, because she's the one that throws her team to win. By the way, guys, I hear some noise there. If you get in, somebody's speaking. If you get in there, please, if there's some noise, start six yourself. Hello. Hello. Start six yourself, please. Somebody is making a lot of noise there. I hope somebody can hear us out there. Okay. So I just want to make sure again that everybody starts six themselves there, so there's no problem for the conference call. So right here, as you can see with the introduction, what an amazing lady. And what today she's going to really do is to share some of the common myths about food and agriculture, as well as explain how NSA differentiated itself from other products on the market. So, guys, I hope you're ready, pen and paper, and also get ready for questions afterwards. So with no further ado, Lisa, thank you so much for taking your time, for helping us. I know you just got back from the Ohio Boot Camp, tons of things at the office, and thanks again for being on the call.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Guy, and thanks so much for that wonderful introduction. Good morning, everyone, and again, thanks for having me on the call. As Guy mentioned, I'm Director of Strategic Projects at NSA, which basically means that I get to work on all kinds of amazing things. But one of the most interesting things that I've been doing lately is working with our farmers to ensure that we have safe and highly nutritious produce going into our process. We always have. I've just been really working with them to try and bring that story to the forefront so that we can share that a little bit more with you. So in working with them, I found out a lot more about food and agriculture than I ever had known before. I really hadn't been involved in agriculture. I'd been involved in the food industry, but not really agriculture until now, and it's been a huge learning process for me. And today I'd like to share some of the things that I've learned, really by talking about some of the most common myths that a lot of people hear related to food and agriculture. But first I did want to share some information about farming. And these are just some things that I've learned as I've been doing this that I think is really important about the future of farming in the United States. So first of all, did you know that in the United States, farmers are now feeding, on average, 144 people? Each farmer has to feed about 144 people now, and that's up from 25 people in the 1960s. And what that means is that farmers have had to become better at managing yields and getting higher yields in the same amount of farmland than they did in the 1960s. So it's very difficult for them to manage that. Additionally, the average U.S. farmer also spends more than about $100,000 on expenses to maintain their farms, and most of them make less than $50,000 per year. So if their income is $50,000 per year on their farm, but their farm expenses are $100,000 per year or more, obviously they're having to do more than just farm to make ends meet. And there are government subsidies that they can take advantage of, but a lot of the U.S. farmers today actually have other jobs as well as farming. So it's easy to see how our agricultural system is having some issues. And this brings me to our first myth that I'm sure many of you have heard about, and that's that most U.S. farms are corporately owned. And I hear this often on the web, and you see things about how the U.S. farms are corporately owned, and that's why everything's going to heck in a handbasket. But in reality, of the around 2 million farms in the U.S. today, more than 85% of them are considered family farms, and only 4% are considered corporately owned. And what that means is that family farms are farms that have been passed down from generation to generation, and the families still are choosing what's farmed on their land and how the land is used. Corporate farms are where the land is owned by a corporation, the farming is done by a corporation, and the product is used by that corporation. So still in today, most American farms are still family-owned, and most of them are having a hard time with it. The other thing I'd like to bring up is that the average age of a principal farm owner in the U.S. today is 57 years old. And that's up from 54 years old in 1997. And what that means is that the average age of farmers are going up, and the youth is not becoming interested in farming. And so really the future of American farms is in question right now, in a large part, in my opinion, because most Americans don't understand farmers, and a lot of times say nasty things on the internet about them and don't support them, when in reality, they're the ones who are feeding not just America, but the world. So just a little bit about farming that I wanted to share. It's something I've become very passionate about, and I think most Americans don't understand where their food comes from, and I think it's really important to understand them. So you can see that farmers have it rough right now, and some might be distracted and not paying attention as much to what's important than others. And so one of the most common questions I hear about Juice Plus is, do you use only organic produce? And the answer to that is not always. We don't require our farmers to use organic produce, but we are grow organic to have organic certification is what I'm trying to say. We don't require our farmers to have organic certification, and I'll talk a little bit more about what organic certification means in a little bit. But really what we require of our farmers is that they pay attention to their farms and that they're doing things the way that will produce the highest nutritional quality produce and the safest produce. And I'll talk a little bit more about what that means as I go through some additional myths. So let's talk about some common organic myths. Most people use the term organic as a measure of food safety and believe that organic produce has no pesticides. And I'm sure many of you have that belief, and that's very common. And the truth of the matter, though, is different than that. And it's that organic produce is allowed to have pesticides. It's allowed to have things sprayed onto it to address pests and herbs and other things that come into the field. What's allowed to be sprayed on it are organic approved pesticides, including a few that would be considered chemical. But in addition to that, they're allowed to have low levels of residual conventional pesticides due to carryover. So they can have up to 10% residual pesticides, 10% of the conventional limits of residual pesticides from conventional fruits and vegetables, just from carryover. One of the things that we do is we make sure that our farmers are planting in places where carryover is limited. So they have natural barriers to prevent carryover, and they also are farther away from people who are doing things, who are spraying what we would consider unapproved pesticides on our produce. But additionally, and more important in my opinion than the pesticide issue in organic, is that organic produce can actually have increased levels of microbiological contamination. And that's really due to the natural fertilizers that are used on the produce.
Come here.
As we all probably know, natural fertilizers are generally manure and or compost. And when used correctly, they're great. In fact, we use them on our farm at home, on our garden at home. I won't really call it a farm. We have a lovely garden, but it doesn't, I don't think, qualify quite as a family farm yet. And manure and compost are great, but if they're mishandled, they can lead to increased risk for microbiological
disease. Come here.
For example, in February of this year, there was a spinach recall. It was actually organic spinach that was recalled, and it was recalled due to E. coli contamination. And it has been traced directly to the manure that they used. And so what happens is if you don't treat your natural fertilizers, manure and compost, correctly, they're a really great medium for growth.
Yes. Lisa, this is John Robinson. Let me just ask as a courtesy. There is an individual whose line is open, not muted, and we're hearing a dog bark, and we're hearing that person talk to the dog. What we would ask you to do is star 6, and if that's difficult to do, then please hang up and listen to this on a recorded call, not live. Thank you very much for your courtesy. Okay, Lisa, back to you.
No problem. So I was talking about the spinach recall in February, and it was really organic spinach that's sold in many grocery stores, Whole Foods was included actually in the recall. So it's something that is really more interesting to me or more concerning to me than the pesticide situation, and I'll tell you really why that is. And one of the things that I've learned in some of the research that I've done, and I've actually been talking to a gentleman by the name of Dr. Carl Winter, who is a renowned toxicologist, specifically studying the effects of pesticides in fruits and vegetables. And one of the things I've learned in by reading his papers and talking to him is that one of the most common myths doesn't really hold water, and that's the dirty dozen fruits and vegetables, and those are the fruits and vegetables that people say you should buy organic because they contain the highest levels of pesticides. What I've learned from him is that they're really not dangerous levels. So the reality is that although these dirty dozen may have higher levels of pesticides than other produce, those levels are still about 10,000 times lower than levels that would cause harm to us. And the point here is not that organic is bad or that we should be afraid of all fruits and vegetables by any stretch. But the point here is that eating a variety of fruits and vegetables, no matter whether they're from conventional origin or organic origin, leads to much more good than bad. And I'll talk a little bit more in a minute about what our farmers at Juice Plus do to protect us from even more than standard produce or even organic produce does. But first I'd like to talk one last organic myth, is that organic foods are tested for compliance. And this is something that a lot of people think, is that, you know, if they're organic, they must be tested to prove that they don't have pesticides or that they're clean. And it's really amazing to me, but the reality is that organic certification, although it's a very costly project, is essentially a paper trail, and no testing is required. And that is absolutely not true for the Juice Plus produce and the Juice Plus product itself. We work with farmers who are willing to utilize organic growing practices in that they use natural fertilizers and natural pest control measures, even if they can't afford to get the paper certification. But the big difference is that we test to prove that we're safe. We test our produce from the field to the finished capsule no less than 6 times to ensure not only that it's safe and free from contaminants, but it also has exceptional and consistent nutrient quality. And we've been told by many people, including I'm sure you all have seen the NSF seal on our package. When we first started working with NSF, they actually told us that we didn't have to test our product as much as we do in as many places as we do, that we only had to test our product at the end to make sure it was compliant. And we told them that was not how we did business here at Juice Plus. And we did that for 2 reasons, really. The first is that we want to make sure that our produce is clean of pesticides and of contaminants, but also all the way through the supply chain. But also it allows us, in testing at different points along the supply chain, we can identify very quickly where there are issues, and we can really stop them before they become too big for us to handle and would lead to something like a recall. Well, really, even before it gets to a recall, we stop them before they get to your door. So if we have a point in the supply chain, for example, if we're purchasing our oranges from a grower in California, and we notice that we consistently have low levels, although they might be acceptable, but low levels of yeast and mold, for example, and it's something that isn't an issue yet, but if we let it go, might become an issue. We can see that initially because we test the produce when it comes in. And we also test after it's dried into a powder. So if our drying facility, if somebody, for example, is new there and doesn't do exactly the right things, and we notice that there's an issue with our powders, we can identify it right away. And that allows us to be able to control the process from the start to the finish and make sure that nothing is getting to the next step without passing all of our quality and safety measures. And that's really something that's very different than what anybody else does in the market. And it really guarantees that the product is of the highest quality and highest nutrition when it reaches your door. And the last myth I kind of wanted to share with you isn't really about organic, but it's kind of related. It's about the PLU codes in stores and farmers markets even. And I've seen this several times on Facebook where people have said that you can tell from a PLU code whether produce is organic or conventional, whether it's GMO or not, or whether it's from a specific country. And although that would be fantastic if that were true, that's really not true. PLU codes are completely voluntary, and they're meant to assist with the point-of-sale identification, not for consumer information. So at this point in time, PLU codes, they do have a list of PLU codes with suggested information that does include things like GMO status or country of origin or organic, but they aren't required at stores or farmers markets. So where you think you might be seeing something that identifies a piece of produce as conventional rather than non-GMO or as organic rather than standard produce, you might be mistaken. So my only comment there is just don't put all of your eggs into the PLU code basket. Definitely rely more on what the tag says about the produce than what the PLU code does. By the way, they have implemented country of origin labeling for produce, so you should be able to see where all of the produce that you purchase has originated. And my suggestion in order to help with the American agricultural system is to make sure that you're purchasing American-grown produce as much as possible. And what I would like to tell you about Juice Plus Produce is that PLU codes are not. Juice Plus Produce is all non-GMO. And it comes from farms in the U.S., Canada, Europe, and South America. And we purchase in those regions because the ingredients, the produce that we purchase, grows naturally in those regions. We don't try and make our farmers grow things that aren't natural to the environment that they live in. And we also like to have a decent variety of locations because the number one issue with agriculture in the world is Mother Nature. And so if we're growing in a couple of different locations, then we have a better chance of having a consistent, solid supply than we would if we had just one farm in one location growing a single ingredient. Last year, for example, there was a major issue in the apple market. In the U.S., apples are mostly grown in New York, Michigan, and Washington State. And last year, there was a very warm winter in Michigan and in New York, and a very late cold freeze that dropped most of the apple blossoms off the trees. And so in New York, there was a 70% crop loss in apples. In Michigan, there was a 90% crop loss for apples. But the reason that you're not seeing huge increases in apple prices in the market today is because in Washington State, they had the largest bumper crop of apples ever recorded. So although Mother Nature might throw monkey wrenches into you, your plans in one region, she kind of makes up for it in other regions. It's kind of the balance of nature. It's really very interesting to watch. But I also wanted to tell you that we do know all of our farmers. That's one of my main projects right now is actually going out and visiting our farmers. So I've personally had conversations with almost all of them in person and all of them through electronic and phone conversations. And we also know all of our manufacturers. And I could tell you that that is absolutely not true for most of the other companies out there. Most of their companies just purchase from big distributors, and they don't have any idea where their food is coming from. And we take very good care to make sure that we know not only what region it's coming from, but the farmer who's growing it. And we're actually going to bring that story much more to the forefront by developing some video and pictures that we can have on the website. And we're even going to do some interviews with the farmers that grow our produce so that you can hear straight from them what they do on their farms.
Awesome.
And the last thing I'd like to share with you all is how different Juice Plus powder is from other powdered ingredients in the market. A couple of years ago, I was in one of our drying facilities in the retain closet, which is a place where they hold samples of each material that they make just in case somebody finds a problem with it someplace else. They can test their retain, and they can determine where the problem originated, if it's something that they had or if it's something that happened later. So I was in there just doing an audit, and I happened to see that there were two very different pink powders, both labeled cranberry. And so I asked them, I said, why do you have two cranberries there? And one of them was a very light pink, I call it kind of day glow pink powder, and the other one was like a deep purplish red powder. And he said, well, this one is what we sell to Juice Plus, pointing to the dark, deep, rich, purpley red colored one. And he said, this is what we sell to everybody else. And I said, well, what's the difference? And he said, your cranberry is a 98% cranberry powder. And the cranberry powder that we sell to everybody else is a 60% cranberry powder. And the other 40% of the cranberry powder that they sell to everybody else is what we call excipients. It's essentially things that help sticky powders not stick to each other and help powders that don't like to dry very well dry faster. So it's things like rice starch and maltodextrin and silicon dioxide, magnesium stearate. Those are things that they add to the powders to make them dry and not stick together. And we do have to add a little bit of that, but the comparison of 98% to 60% is huge. And that really is how we differentiate ourselves from our competition. And we, unfortunately, don't get to put that information on a label. So I think when we're telling our story, we're also going to talk about that as well. So hopefully we'll see that within the next year as a story on our website. And so just lastly, I'd like to say that at Juice Plus, we don't just care to put things on the labels. We really care what goes into making it, from the farmers to the purity of our powders to the testing. We're focused on quality, consistency, and safety. And the proof really is in the 31 peer-reviewed published clinical studies that we have.
Wow, 31 now.
So thank you all so much for your time, and I am absolutely happy to answer any questions that you have. If there's any topic that you'd like me to expound upon as well, I'm happy to do that.
Lisa, this is John, and we will do that in just a moment. Let me also ask the people who are on the call, one way that I think this conversation could continue is for you to express back briefly to Lisa, you know, what did you hear that gives you new confidence in the product that we offer to people? And I'll ask you that in just a minute. But Lisa, one thing that I didn't hear you say, but I've heard you say it in other places, is about the whole produce, not just portions of the produce, and about juice plussing. Could you just comment on that, and then we'll I'll ask people for what they've heard, because that will also tell you how we've come across, and then we'll open it broadly for questions, if that's good. Okay?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. So yeah. When I describe the process, I kind of describe it differently than a lot of other people do. What is so unique about our process is that we don't really remove anything from the produce as we dry it. So we start with our whole fruits and vegetables. And by whole fruits and vegetables, I really mean we start with the whole thing. So for example, in an orange, we leave the skin on and we leave the seeds in there because there's a lot of nutrients in those parts of the fruits that we don't really even get when we eat the fruit naturally because it tastes really bitter. So in an orange, all of the citrus bioflavonoids that are in the orange are actually in the peel. And so when you're eating an orange and you're taking the peel off, you're not really getting all that nutrient. But it's important, and so we leave it in as we, as I call it, juice plus our produce. And same thing goes with some of the vegetables. We actually leave the stems and some of the leaves on the broccoli, for example, because there's actually added nutrients that are in those pieces, although they might not taste as good or might not be as pleasing to people to eat. So that's where we start with the process, is by starting with the whole fruits and vegetables. We do remove, for example, the pit of the peach because there are components of that are not edible. So anything that's going to create issues, we do remove. But if at all possible, we leave everything else intact. And we, our process, our juicing process is really, I call it juice plussing because I think it's actually much better than what most people think of as standard juicing. And I love that Vitamix has come along because it makes my job a whole lot easier because our juice plussing process is really more like a Vitamix blender than it is like a standard juicer used to be. So we can leave all the peels and the seeds and stuff intact, and we really just pulverize the produce into a fine slurry. And our process is more complicated than a Vitamix blender. We actually have four stages of the pulverization process before it's dried. But it helps explain what we do there. And as I mentioned before, we don't remove anything from the produce. The only thing that's removed is the water. And there are the only thing that's actively removed is the water. There are some little water-soluble, like salt, a little bit of salt and a little bit of sugar that might go be evaporated with the water. But ultimately, the fiber is all still in the produce, and most of the sugars are still in there as well.
Hmm. Thank you very much for that. And so, let's, we're the audience. This is the chance where this becomes much more interactive. Why don't we just share with each other for a moment what stood out to us that we've heard from Lisa today that's giving us some fresh confidence or belief in our products? Just real short answers and with a whole bunch of us, popcorn for a minute.
Amazing quality control consistently.
Better than organic.
Fascinating, very fascinating.
Yeah. I love the emphasis on exceptional and consistent quality. You know, maybe not the most beautiful produce, but the absolutely the most potent.
Could I ask a question about the sugar?
Certainly.
Take off speaker here. There's very little sugar according to the label, but as Lisa was saying, that all that is kept intact pretty much in the processing. How come it doesn't translate to a higher number on the capsule bottles?
So if you think about it, in fruits and in vegetables, there's very little sugar. So I'm assuming you're talking really about the fruit portion, the
right,
orchard blend.
Right.
And really, in fruits, there are varying levels of sugar. So there's more sugar, for example, in oranges than there is in acerola cherries. One of the ways that we control the sugar content is by using a wide variety of fruits. And the other portion that most people tend to not think about is a serving of Juice Plus, two capsules of Juice Plus, is a total of 1.5 grams. The U.S. labeling laws are written such that if you have, in order to label 1 gram of sugar, which is, they don't label anything less than 1 gram, so you can label 0, less than 1 gram, or 1 gram. Those are the options that you have, and it's only in whole numbers, and again, just how the labeling laws were written. So in order to say 1 gram of sugar, there would have to be more than 75% of the capsule itself would have to be sugar. And that's not the case in fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables are not 75% sugar. They have a lot of nutrients in there. They have a lot. They have fiber, and they have other carbohydrates. They have a lot of other things, and that are not sugar. So it's the same thing with the fiber as well. They're not 75% fiber, but the labeling laws are written such that it has to be 1 gram or more in order to label it like that. So there is fiber and there is sugar, but again, they are not large quantities. They're not 1 gram because the serving size of the capsule is in total 1.5 grams. Did that answer your question?
Absolutely. It's very interesting. I never thought of it that way.
And most people don't, but it's really just a matter of the size and the labeling regulations.
Lisa, I think I heard something today that I may not have heard before, and that is because you're doing all of the produce, the rind and the connective tissue, you know, that white stuff in the middle of the orange and the seeds. So there is actually a great deal of fiber, and I think at one point I was under the misapprehension that some of the fiber was removed, but it's not. And so the fiber actually becomes a very significant portion of what is in there. So the sugar is not a predominant impact. That just seems to make sense to me as I hear you speak.
Well, good, and that's you're exactly correct.
Yeah. I'll just pass on one other tip I heard her say, and I love this because in a way she's told us some technical things today that we, you know, don't do this at home in your own lab. But she did say, hey, just open the container and smell the capsule. And the smell test will tell you what it is that you're consuming. And I've done that. Every time I open my container now, I smell it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and that's one thing. If somebody's comparing Juice Plus to another product on the market, or they're saying, you know, I can get this other stuff for cheaper, so it's all the same, why don't I get this? You know, the best way to answer that, the best way to tell them about the benefits of Juice Plus and what we do that's really not able to be seen on the labels is really open the capsules, open them up and smell them, and you will, in competitive product, you won't really smell too much. But if anybody here has opened a bottle of Garden and taken that seal off the top of the bottle, you know it smells like broccoli.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
Liza,
well, go ahead.
Liza, I just wanted to thank you so much. I have been explaining the aspect of the sugar and the fiber incorrectly to people, and of course we don't want to do that. So I really appreciate your education. I was actually at the boot camp this past weekend, but I learned by repetition, so I came back on today, and I just really appreciate you, you know, presenting this again. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Glad I could help.
These are excellent questions and comments. Do we have some other questions for Lisa? Think about that for just a moment longer. Let me provide a reminder here for everyone on this call and those who listen that the call, the Wednesday call, the fourth Thursday of the month, our fourth Tuesday of the month next month will be August 27th. So be looking at your calendars for that. And then tomorrow night we have the men's call. And the speaker will be almost as good as Lisa Pepple, Randy Matthews, Vice President of Marketing. I say that tongue-in-cheek. He's fantastic. So that'll be 9 o'clock for the men, and I think most of you get the email announcement on that. So are there any other questions that have occurred as we've been on the call?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, hi. I just had one other question. We've heard about the capsules, and now I just wanted to ask about the chewables. With the chewables, because I have a lot of adults that opted for chewables, how much of those nutrients are they getting? Because as I'm taking them as well, one of the people commented they feel like they're taking candy every day.
Right.
And so it's almost a mental thing of how much are they actually getting.
Well, and to be honest, the capsules are the best way to get Juice Plus nutrition into your bodies, simply because of the fact that the chewables, although they have the same powders to start with, they were limited there both in the amount that we can put in and also in the processing of the chewables themselves. You know, they're a different type of medium, so we have to add additional sugar to those, and because they have to taste good, we have to add flavors, we have to add, you know, a bunch of other stuff to them to make them taste good so people will eat them like candy, but that all does kind of take away from the potency of the powders themselves just a little bit. So the way I like to describe it is just like Juice Plus is the next best thing to fruits and vegetables, Juice Plus chewables are the next best thing to Juice Plus capsules. So probably not the same from a nutrient perspective, but as close as we can come in that format.
Okay. Can I ask one other question?
Sure.
If then I'm looking at for the kids program, the child health study.
Yes.
If we have kids that are pushing more towards teenagers, would it be better to recommend the capsules, even if they're putting it in their juice or putting it in something else, so that we're ensuring they're getting as much as possible?
I would, yes. Personally, I would always try and push the capsules. Unless people have a reason not to take them, or if they're very, you know, if they just really don't want to take them, like I said, the chewables are a great product, and they're the next best thing to the capsules. But if people can take the capsules, I would recommend that they do, including children. I'm not sure if you've read the new Moores clinical research study that has been published. I think it was published last year. And that was a study that was done on overweight boys age, I believe, 8 to 12. And in that study, we actually gave them capsules. So there's a lot of children. So point being, it's very safe for children to take the capsules. We would recommend children under 12 take one and one rather than two and two, just because of the difference in body weight. And that's what the children did in the children's health in the New Moores Clinic study. So, but if they can take them, I would recommend taking the capsules. Yeah.
Okay.
Not that the chewables aren't fantastic. Like I said, like Geet said earlier, I did help develop those, so I think they're a great product. But
okay, last question. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not jumping on anyone else. Again, with the chewables, has the studies also shown at least some of the same effects with the chewables for the kids, or were the studies just done primarily with the capsules?
The studies have all of our published studies have been done with the capsules, and the main reason for that is that all of our studies are placebo-controlled, which means that we're not just testing what happens when you take our product. We're making sure that we're comparing that to a placebo group so that the differences are what we report rather than the initial to end results, because there can be skewing if you don't have a placebo group. And creating a placebo for a chewable product is impossible so far as we've been able to find out, simply because when you're looking for a placebo, you're looking for a completely inactive comparison, so that you're clear that there's no interaction because of the placebo. And flavoring and colorings are all do have some active componentry to them. They have some nutrient levels, and so creating a placebo for the chewables is something we have not been able to do yet. So we have done some behind-the-scenes work just to make sure that we're confident that the chewables are as bioactive as the capsules, and we did find that. So we did some bioavailability work on the chewables and got comparable results to what we saw with the capsules.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
For the ingredients of the capsules, is it an equal amount of all of the different fruits and vegetables, or is, say, one ingredient favored, like more oranges and a lesser amount of the other ones?
I can tell you, first of all, I couldn't tell you exactly what that formulation is, because that's very proprietary. That's kind of our, that's our secret sauce. So it's not in the same amounts. And I can tell you that labeling laws require the ingredients list to go from the highest to the lowest level. So if you look at our ingredients, you can kind of get an idea of the relative amounts of each component by looking at what's first and what's last. So
okay.
That's as much as I can tell you, or I'd have to kill you.
Oh, when I'm really, really old, maybe I'll ask you again.
She'd have to choose you, yes.
Liza?
Yes.
I would like to just comment on the distinction of organic and what did you call traditional or conventional?
Conventional, yes.
Conventional produce, because that is, I have many, many prospective customers that are friends and family and, you know, new people that I've been introduced to alike that are very health conscious, you know, eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, and they're just organic crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have kind of put off getting started on Juice Plus because it's, you know, not indicated as organic. And so this information is really helpful. I don't know if it'll change their minds at all, but at least it's, you know, a more, better answer, you know, than just yes and no.
Yes.
So, but with regard to Juice Plus and, you know, like you said, the PLU code, you were saying that, that it's, could you explain that, I guess, my question? Can you just explain a little bit, real quick, a little bit more about that?
So the PLU codes are what, so the PLU codes are those stickers that are on produce that have a number on them. And
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people sharing information, especially on Facebook and other social media sites, that say that you can find out a lot about the ingredient from the numbers that are on that PLU code.
Okay.
For example, if I think it's an 8 is first, that means it's organic, or I can't remember exactly what they are. But my point is that they aren't required at stores, and they are not completely they're not agreed upon by everybody. So what you might see, some grocery stores might be following that listing and that enumeration scale, and others might not. And especially if you're buying things at a farmer's market, they might not even have a PLU code on their produce. So it's difficult to rely on that and only that as your means of telling where your produce comes from and what it is. At Juice
okay.
Plus, I was just saying that at Juice Plus we have, you know, we use only non-GMO produce, so you don't have to worry about whether our produce is GMO or not. It's all non-GMO for the time being. And we don't expect that to change any time in the future, but there are diseases that sometimes affect produce that that are nasty, and eventually we might have to decide, for example, whether we want to take papaya out of Juice Plus or move to a GMO papaya source, because there's a very nasty ringworm that has attacked about 85% of the papaya in the world. And the only way to counteract this ringworm is by a genetic modification to the papaya. So right now we are buying all non-GMO ingredients, and we expect to for the future, but I'm an engineer. I'm a technical person. I never like to say 100%. I never like to guarantee anything if I don't know what the future could hold. So,
and if I may ask one more question about
this will be our last. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. You know, there's a lot of talk about pomegranate and acai berries and, you know, blueberries and, you know, and all that as far as, like, the highest antioxidants. So, and I apologize, I don't have memorized everything that's in our product, sad to say, but is there a reason why you didn't choose acai?
There is. If you keep in mind that Juice Plus has been around for about 20 years, 20 years ago, acai was only really known in Brazil. It wasn't a berry or wasn't a fruit that was grown really anywhere else. We developed our formula 20 years ago, and we really haven't changed it since then. We've got 31 published clinical studies that show that our formula does a fantastic job in a lot of
right.
different areas, and we're really not willing to mess with it much unless we know that it's going to be a significant improvement. We do have pomegranate in the vineyard soft chewables, and we also have pomegranate in complete. And we kind of look to those kind of what we would consider other products, not our orchard and garden core capsules, as where we might include some other super fruits, is what they call them, in the future. Not going to say we aren't going to include acai in a formulation in the future or other super fruits, but we don't really like to change our formula of, you know, the juice plus orchard and garden blend, most definitely, very much.
Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you all.
What great questions and what great answers. Lisa, I'd like to thank you today for reassuring us that we don't need to be nervous Nellies about our food in general. And so, you know, it's far, far better to eat the fruits and vegetables than it is to worry about what trace things might be out there. So you've reassured us and helped us inspire healthy living around the world. You've also been a big fan of farmers, and we value that. That's kind of helped us to champion them. And most of all, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to give us confidence in the product that we have. This has been a very unique call and unique point of view. Thank you so much today. I'm going to stop the recording, and then we can all say thanks to Lisa and then let her get on with her fabulous work. So I'm going to stop the recording right now. Hang on.
And as John's stopping the call, the recording, I would like